Hi, I'm Lawrence Dallaglio, and this episode of the Evening Standard Rugby Podcast is brought to you in partnership with QBE Business Insurance. QBE is one of the world's leading insurers, and they will help your business build resilience through risk management and insurance solutions.
Hi, I'm Lawrence Dallaglio, host of the Evening Standard Rugby Podcast, brought to you in partnership with QBE Business Insurance. The show is available to listen to now and right up to the end of the season, when the winners of the Champions Cup will be crowned at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium and the fight for the Premiership title will be decided at Twickenham. QBE is one of the world's leading insurers, and they will help your business build resilience through risk management and insurance solutions. Subscribe and download now wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening.
ES Audio.
The Evening Standard Rugby Podcast with Lawrence Dallaglio, supported by Fuller's London Pride, official beer of Premiership Rugby. Support with pride.
Hello, I'm Lawrence Dallaglio. Welcome to the Evening Standard Rugby Podcast, supported by Fuller's London Pride. As ever, I have my wonderful co-host. Actually, she's more like the presenter, to be honest. Sarah Elgin is with us. Sarah, how are you?
I'm good, Lawrence. How are you?
Very well. I'm not sure why I've got glasses on, because I don't need them to
see.
I know
you look like very studious. I'm not used to seeing you looking bright. Okay, also joining us, we're delighted to welcome on board the new rugby correspondent from the Evening Standard. It's Nick Prewell. Hi, Nick.
Hi, Sarah. How are you?
Nick, to have you on. You're very studious as well.
I actually can't see, so I need them. They're not for show.
And our guest this week is a man who's made over 250 appearances for Harlequins. He has represented England 83 times and the British and Irish Lions on the 2017 tour. He's a much-loved personality, both on and off the pitch. It's Joe Marler. Hi, Joe.
Hello.
I don't think I've ever given you an intro like that before. That was really nice, isn't it?
It was still really insincere. but I'll take it, whatever.
I forgot to add, very entertaining post-match interviewee.
Well, is that really something to shout about? No, not really. Lol, what's the crack with the glasses, mate? Is it like Ugo, who just wears the fake glasses for fashion? Or have you now hit the age that you got bad eyes?
I'm 50, you wouldn't believe it, but I have turned 50. Ugo must be in his 30s. I need the bins now. I'm told I look like Harry Hill. I was thinking more sort of Bricktop from Snatch or something, but it's Harry Hill, I think.
Do you know what nemesis means?
You don't want to be counting the fingers you haven't got. There we go. How was the Barbarians? You've had a sort of a nice week, haven't you, really, of just, you know, getting together, having a crack, maybe only two or three training sessions, if that.
Well, have you done the Barbars?
I have, yeah, but I'll never forget it, actually, because we trained at Chelsea, and Mike Ruddock had just been appointed a coach, and he just lost his job with Wales, and he was obviously a bit overexcited, and started laying out line-out cones, and the lad said to me, what's he doing? I said, what do you mean, what's he doing? And he said, well, he looks like he's laying out cones for a training session. So they said, well, go and have a word with him. Remember, I said to him, Mike, I know you're keen, but I'm very sorry, but we don't really do any training for this week.
That's not how it works around here, Mike. I appreciate you're still in real work mode, but we'll just put a couple of pods up. In fact, we won't put pods up. We'll just throw the ball in on the game day and see how it goes.
It went well, didn't it?
Well, you've experienced it yourself, mate, and it is up there with one of my favourite experiences to do in rugby. Especially now that I'm getting of that age where the professionalism is probably going to come to an end soon. It's nice to actually still make the most of these opportunities of meeting all different players from around the world, different coaches as well. I was really looking forward to actually seeing what Razor and Roger are about. You know, they're highly praised around the world, but it's just a different thing to actually see how they work.
And Lawrence, how's your week been?
Yeah, very good, thank you.
You're in a better mood this week?
Much happier this week. I was with the family end of last week, and then I went to Twickenham, which we'll talk a little bit more about. Really enjoyed it, actually. And Nick, you were supposed to be interviewing Mako Vunipola, but obviously Eddie's decided that there's a media shutdown, is there?
No. He just had more important things to do, which he can never argue with, so we'll pick that up tomorrow.
Excellent.
Don't forget, you can also watch the full extended video podcast at londonpridebeer.co.uk. Please drink responsibly.
Joe, it's great to have you with us. I think I read somewhere that when you joined Quinns, Colin Osborne, who was one of the great coaches at Quinns, paired you with Jason Leonard. How was it with the big fella as your mentor?
Yeah, I was 17 and Colin had arranged. He said, look, here's Jason Leonard's number. Arrange it between yourself. He knows it's coming and blah, blah. I was like, okay, yeah, okay. Thank you. So I've texted him and said, hello, Mr. Leonard. if you can text in that voice, but that's exactly how the tone was of my text. I've been asked to arrange and come and meet with you. It's all right. And the text went, yeah, mate, I'll be at the Sun tomorrow night. Give us a shout and we'll catch up then. I was like, right, cool. So I found out where the Sun was, got in there. There was quite a few people outside. Walked in, there's rugby memorabilia all over the walls. There's quite a lot of him, actually. You can clearly see there was actually quite a bend in part of the bar that I was looking for a little tag that he was at. That's his bend where he's leant on it for so many years. And I said to the barman, I said, oh, is Mr. Leonard around? And he was like, yeah, why? And I was like, well, I've got a meeting with him. It's like, it's arranged. He's like, yeah, yeah, he was here. I think he might be outside or something. So I went outside and I found him half propped up against a car outside. And I said, oh, Jason, it's Joe, blah, blah. And he started swaying a bit. And clearly, even though we'd arranged 7 o'clock, he'd been there probably from about two. And he said, nice to meet you, boy. He shook my hand. He said, do you mind if we rearrange this for another time? It's just I'm well on my way here. I was like, yeah, of course. Yeah, no, okay, I'll leave. Thank you. And then we arranged the following week a cup of coffee in Twickenham this time around. So, yeah, I felt very privileged, actually, someone that I'd grown up watching, to then have a contact on and off mentor. It's not one of those strict mentorships that's like I'll be nagging him all the time because clearly he doesn't want that. But it's good that Colin put me in contact to have over the years to just sort of level me at sometimes and just tap his brains both about the stuff on the field and as much off of it, to be honest.
Joe, talk me through some of these tracksuits you've been wearing on the way to games. I have to say, that couldn't have been a little tip from Jason because, you can't even fit in a tracksuit like that. But is that just a little bit of you expressing yourself?
It started in lockdown when we were still playing through it. And it soon became clear to me that I was struggling a bit with the fact there was no crowds. I'd gone a long period of my career not really appreciating the fans, or it didn't sit comfortably either that, you know, people would want to ask for a photo or something. I was like, so I'd end up being quite rude. And I'm sure there's many a journalist that has been the back of that and appreciated that. And it was the same sort of vibe with fans as well, that I didn't really have that connection because I was like, no, it's weird. And also I'm just kind of doing it for the money. I'm doing it as a profession sort of thing. Lockdown took that all away and it became soulless. And I was really struggling to get up for games, even though I felt lucky that we were still able to keep playing, still trying to put some smiles on faces for people watching it on TV. But I thought, oh, sod it. I just start mixing it up a bit. We were with Adidas at the time. I thought they've got some decent gears. They've got some decent retro gears. Adidas, they're the nuts when it comes to it. Unfortunately, I'd lost my Adidas sponsorship gig back in 2016 for certain on-field discrepancies. And so I bought one and it was fun and all the boys were like, okay. But so it gave me something a bit fun to do. Then it carried on and the boys would be like, all right, well, what we're going to get next week. So I mean, you've got to be this, you've got to try as outrageous as you can. And some of them, mate, have cost me an arm and a leg.
They look expensive. They do look expensive.
There was a red one. It was a Ivy Park. It was Beyonce collaboration with Adidas. And I had to lock it down really quick. And that was the priciest one going, only for me to turn up at the stoop for people to say that I look like, what are those things that you put in your cupboard and they're wrapped in red? An immersion heater. They were like, you look like an immersion heater walking into the thing. And I was like, that wasn't the vibe I was going for, but it's fine. But fortunately for me with that one, because they were so limited edition, you can't get them anymore. I plan on keeping that for a little bit longer and then hopefully selling it to someone that wants a 4XL tracksuit.
How much did that cost you then?
That tracksuit in all, because I went to town, I went with the shoes, the socks, everything, even the jacket. That was north of about 1,800 quid.
Oh my gosh, Joe.
So,
just moving on, you've widely documented as in terms of the work that you've done with the mental health charity Calm, and you've, you know, in terms of your own mental health experiences in your autobiography and your TV program, Big Boys Don't Cry. It's a topic that you're very happy to talk about. You know, do you see yourself as being able to be an ambassador for that and just speak up? Because, you know, I'm sure there's plenty of other rugby players that feel the same way.
I never envisaged, or my aim wasn't to be an ambassador for it or be a voice for it. It was actually just selfishly helping me, just being able to openly talk about it was internally helping me to just normalize it for myself, to accept things for myself and understand it more for myself. And then, you know, other teammates were reaching out, both having played against and with, saying that they'd experienced the same feelings, the same things. Their wife had put them in contact with various people. And then it sort of became, why can't we just talk? As soon as you start talking about mental health, it's like, oh, your mental health issues. And it's always like a negative connotation to it that you have mental health issues. But it's about understanding a bit more that it's mental health. It's the same way as your physical health. You know, you spoke earlier about you've hit 50 now and your eyes have started to go. Right, that's part of your physical health. What can you do to then sort of fix that? Well, make yourself look like Harry Hill and there you go, jobs are good and you're sorted. But that's the sort of same approach that I think we need to start having more conversations. And we are definitely in rugby having more conversations. Boys are opening up a lot more. And I think the next step is actually like the tool acquisition of it all. How do you start a conversation? How do you recognize the signs in boys or your teammates that are struggling? They want to open up, but they can't open up. And just be that sort of ear that you can be there to listen to and ask the sort of right questions. We need to start having those tools because it's just everyone's going through the same things, just at different levels and at different periods of their life. So it wasn't my aim to be that voice, but I'm happy that if it's helping people, then I'll run with it and I'll continue, because selfishly, you know, say it like that, that it continues to help me to regularly check in with myself and work on things that I need to.
Can we talk about your podcast, which actually has absolutely nothing to do with rugby, everything but rugby. So what made you want to do it, to start it? How did it all kick off?
I met Tom Fordyce and Steve Jones, who used to be at the BBC. And Tom was a big part of the Peter Crouch podcast. I met them in Japan. We got on really well. Then after the tournament, they'd left the BBC and set up their own podcast company. And they said, look, mate, would you be interested in setting up a podcast? And I went, there's 100 rugby podcasts, mate. Like, and I don't know what analytical insight I can really bring to it. And they were like, no, we don't want to do rugby. We want to set up a podcast where we just go and meet loads of different people, loads of different stories, loads of different jobs, backgrounds, and see where it runs. And I was like, go on then. Yeah, that sounds like fun.
Give us an insight. Who's been your best show? Who have you been like randomly gone to have a chat with that's really kind of perked your interest?
Oh, there's been a few. There was a marine biologist called Darren who came on, and he was so well prepared. And the facts that he came out with just blew our minds. And then it goes from a psychopath expert that we had on, or we had a woman that worked on death row for a good 10 years. So hearing those sort of stories. And then we had Paddy, a homeless guy who'd spent 10, 15 years homeless and trying to get a bit of perspective and understanding on what goes on in that world. Because we all live a very privileged life when you sit there and listen to his story and the things he's been through. And then to come out the other side, they were really big ones. And then there's also some fun, random ones that you get. Everyone's got a story if you ask the right questions. And it's just something I really enjoy doing and takes me away from the rugby bubble and keeps me a little bit fresher coming back into it.
Do you know what I enjoyed watching recently? Trixie Turnover. You made a very impressive drag queen. I thought you were amazing. I got to be honest. And the fact that you kept your beard.
Yeah, well, it wasn't they that kept it. There was a big conversation. They were like, you're obviously getting rid of the beard. And I went, I haven't been clean shaven for 12 years. There's not a chance. I've got no chin. It looks like I've got a big face and, you know, this thing. You know, I've got the smallest pea head going. I'm like, mate, I'm sorry, the beard's got to stay. And they were like, right, we'll just spray paint it with about a kilo of glitter then. In fact, there might still be some knocking about.
You look like great fun.
Yeah, you were really good.
Lawrence, you never tried a bit of drag? No. Well,
they look at the size and go, listen, we've got wardrobes, but not for people like you.
Okay, we could talk to you, obviously, like most our guests, all day. But we'll move on to probably not your favourite subject now, Joe, actually, rugby.
The Evening Standard Rugby Podcast with Lawrence Dallaglio, supported by Fuller's London Pride, official beer of Premiership Rugby.
We should definitely start with a mention to the Red Roses, who put on such a valiant display against the Black Ferns in that World Cup final. They went down to 14 players after just 18 minutes, of course. But listen, they were brilliant. Awesome tournament, awesome final. I suppose my question, Lawrence, to you, what words, I don't know, of advice would you have for the players after doing so well and then experiencing that?
It was heartbreaking. I've got up at 6 in the morning to watch it, and so did 1.8 other million people. So I think that regardless of the result. The sort of momentum that's got behind women's rugby, and, you know, the Red Roses, etc., they should be very proud of what they've achieved. You know, we've all lost big games of rugby, sadly. There's not a lot you can say in the early part of it. It's quite raw, the emotions. I think if they keep 15 people on the field, I think they go on and win that game. You know, playing New Zealand in New Zealand, they took the game to Eden Park. They brought in Wayne Smith. They gave themselves every advantage they possibly could. I just felt for them, you know, I really did. So, but they should feel very proud, I think.
Joe, you've been there. How tough is it to get through that? How long does that take?
I actually watched the game. I had got in the Saturday morning.
Bar's night out, isn't it?
I was sat there with my kebab and a portion of chips, and then the game came on and I was like, brilliant. So I watched it, and I don't want to be pernickety, but I'm arguing that the last thing that New Zealand have thrown the jumper across, and that I actually think it should be a penalty the other way, but, you know, that's being pernickety. It is heartbreaking for them. I've been there, and it does take a long time. Also, at the end of our tournament, there was a few questions posed to me. Mate, you still looked really quite happy. And it was like, well, because I look back at the tournament and enjoyed it. Of course, I wanted the gold medal at the end of it. We all did. But the experience, the cultural experience, the unity of the group, and the memories we'd made along the way, you sort of have to take stock and appreciate. It's hard to do, especially like Lawrence said, in the moment and as raw as it is. But I think women's rugby is in a really good place. And even go back to my daughter, she sees these games and she goes, hang on a minute, can I play rugby? Can I do that? And it's those moments that go, well, hang on, there's the next generation that can come through now, because it's getting so much bigger and there's so many more characters in the game that are putting it out there, and it's far more accessible. So I think in 4 years' time, we should throw the kitchen sink at it like New Zealand did in their own backyard and give it a good go.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Hi, I'm Lawrence Dallaglio, and this episode of the Evening Standard Rugby Podcast is brought to you in partnership with QBE Business Insurance. QBE is one of the world's leading insurers, and they will help your business build resilience through risk management and insurance solutions.
The Evening Standard Rugby Podcast with Lawrence Dallaglio, supported by Fuller's London Pride, official beer of Premiership Rugby.
Autumn internationals this weekend, we saw wins for Ireland against Fiji, Wales against Argentina, England against Japan. Lawrence?
Can I just say, big up for the Northern Hemisphere rugby. Every team, apart from Scotland, they obviously didn't get the memo, won their games. And I think quite a few teams, Ireland and France last week. And when I first started playing against the Southern Hemisphere in the autumns, you know, across the board, England would win the odd game. Everyone else would get smashed to pieces. And I think now, as we go into a World Cup next year, I don't think the hemispheres have ever been closer than they are right now. Scotland nearly beat the All Blacks for the first time in their history. Ireland obviously doing great things. France winning again. And England, I thought they played very well. You know, you score 50 points against a team like Japan, you've got to be quite happy with that. Positives, I think we've got a pack that are really coming together. You know, the front row looks very, very strong. I prefer second rows to stay in the second row. Don't like them in the back row, but that's just me. I thought the young lad at scrum half, I think there's a decision to be made this week. Going to be very interesting. Does he go back to Ben Youngs, or does he actually give Jacques Van Poortvliet a real chance to play a slightly higher paced game, which I think you need to do against the All Blacks if you're going to win? And Freddie Stewart, I think, was a massive positive at fullback. But yeah, listen, I think we'll find out a little bit more about England in the next couple of weeks, because you've probably got to play your strongest available team. And it's going to be fascinating, Freddie, because the best performances England have ever produced under Eddie Jones have had Owen Farrell at 10, Manu Tuilagi at 12, and Henry Slade at 13. So it's going to be fascinating. Does he go back to that particular selection, or does he continue with Marcus at 10 and Owen at 12? And I'm still a little bit confused by all of that. I think they can exist on the same pitch, but I just think you've got to start getting a few combinations going before the World Cup. I know there's a lot of rugby next year, but I'd like to see our strongest possible team. But a lot to be positive about with England, I think.
Nick, what did you make out of the rugby action this weekend?
Yeah, I thought England were very good. I thought David Ribbons had a really good debut. And what I liked about him and his debut is I think in a back five of balance, you always need somebody who's just going to smash rucks all day long and give you continuity. He just got in there and was just like, I'm just going to make a mess of the ones where we don't have the ball when I need to, and I'm going to give the team continuity and let the big beasts do their thing around that. And I think England really need that. Always look better when the ball is quick. I thought Van Poortvliet was really good. He drove the pace. I don't really understand how Freddie Stewart is so calm under the high ball, but he was talking about having done a lot of work with sports psychologists at Leicester and England on that. And he looks absolutely fantastic. And yeah, I mean, I know what Lawrence is saying about second rows in the second row, and obviously, you know, with a nod to Marrow. England clearly keep saying that they feel like they need three line-out jumpers. I understand the benefit of that as well. I do think Marrow be at his best at lock, but obviously, you know, Courtney Laws is just a machine. I mean, how do you replace that? And I think they're doing pretty well there. In terms of Marcus Smith and Owen Farrell, I thought it's encouraging. Obviously, it's just a much bigger challenge against New Zealand this weekend.
Yeah, so Eddie's got some decisions to make. Then Scotland almost pulling off a victory against the All Blacks in that brilliant France-South Africa game. The atmosphere looked insane in Marseille. And Italy, Joe, beating Australia. I mean, it's all kind of building up, isn't it? Quite nicely for the World Cup. The excitement levels are rising. What's your deal for the World Cup then?
What's my deal? Is this like a semi-interview? Is there a big like Evening Standard or London Pride gig out there that, you know, is there stuff available? Or
I'm just asking because you said, did you, like a couple of months ago, you were like, you know, you willing to have a conversation with Eddie about it, but if the World Cup is not there for you, are you going to like shut up shop?
No, that was slightly misquoted. It was like, I'd love to still be able to go and play at the next World Cup. I'd love to do that and give it one more crack. But as has been mentioned a couple of times by various different people, they compare Eddie to Gareth Southgate occasionally on his selection and not picking on form, but picking on thingy. But when it comes to loose head, he very much is picking on form. I'm not in the conversation because I'm not playing well enough. You've got Genji, who's now vice-captain and a huge influence on that pack and key to England's attack and his defence, his physicality, but key to that team. Mako's come back this season and in great form. And then you've got young, hungry Bevan Rodd and Val Rapava-Ruskin, who you'd argue has been the form club loose head in the league, and he's been in the squad, but then you can be as good a club player as you want, but you get into an international environment, albeit a squad, and sometimes you freeze or sometimes it's not comfortable or you can't really put your best foot forward there, like, because sometimes it's a too big a step up. But yeah, you can argue that he might not be picking form on any other position, but he's certainly picking form in loose head, and I can't argue with that. And you know, I recognise where I am and I'll just keep playing, and if the call does come one day that I can make the World Cup, then brilliant, I'll take it with both hands. But I also recognise I'm 32 and I might be better suited to going out there with the Evening Standard or London Pride.
But you won't be shutting up shop is what my question.
No, there's no shutting up shop.
Okay, that's good. Okay, let's move on to the Premiership games then. So Friday night saw current champions Leicester take a trip down to the Wreck to face Bath. Despite the home team being down 8-15, I think, at halftime, it was a try for Will Butt in the final moments of the game that saw them snatch a victory over the Tigers. I really enjoyed that one. There's some more good news for Bath, Lawrence.
Yeah, do you know what? It's been, they couldn't win a raffle last season, could they really? And now is that three wins on the bounce? And well done to them. It's fascinating. You know, we overanalyze the game of rugby sometimes, and players sometimes get a little bit maybe blasé. You know, sometimes you take for granted what you've got. When you look at Bath's best performers in the last few weeks, the lads who have come across from Worcester, Ollie Lawrence and Ted Hill and Shilcott, a fullback, they were probably the best three players on the field on Friday night. And they haven't taken for granted what they've got because they're so lucky. They feel very lucky to have a contract. And the game is quite emotional sometimes. And I think when you bring that level of emotion, you can really improve a performance. So, yeah, I think it's good things happening at Bath. I mean, what a finish, by the way, from the young lad on the wing. But, I mean, what a finish. I mean, I could only dream of that, really. But I just thought it was great. And as much as I am impartial, and I love to be impartial, I mean, it's nice when Leicester get beat in the last minute of the game as well.
It's so not impartial.
You're a nasty piece of work, you are.
I am. I mean, they would say the same, really. They did call me the Antichrist, actually, at Leicester, to be honest with you. Maybe that was only one or two of them. But no, listen, I just thought it was great for them to, and it just shows how competitive this league is.
Joe, if Leicester's the team that Lyle enjoyed beating most, who's the team that you enjoy beating most?
You already know the answer. Just such a leading question. That's
probably Saracens or something like that, I would say, probably.
The only thing with Sarries is that it's mainly because it's such a rarity that we beat them that that's probably why I like it the most.
Unbelievable at the moment, aren't they?
They're absolutely on fire, mate. The previous squad players have now turned into shoo-ins for the first team, and they're really starting to step up. And there's also reaping the fact that there's some overlooked England quality players that are just going to town in the Premiership still. So, like, Ben El's completely on fire and good on him. That was so painful to say. Good on them. Oh, God. Oh, God.
Open the window, Joe. Take a minute while Nick...
Oh, God.
That's the thing, though, Nick, isn't it? They never know when they're beaten. Like, 20 minutes ago, this weekend, Northampton had, what, 22-point lead? Looking like they were going to be the ones to break Sarri's record, but they still fought back.
It's that calmness under pressure, isn't it? Just knowing that, refusing to accept that it's ever done, but sticking to, sticking to processes and sticking to the plans and knowing that you've got that in there to get it over the line. And good on people like Alex Lazowski, like Joe was talking about, England quality overlooked guys. And, yeah, like you said, Ben Earl, he's another absolute monster. And I think surely he's going to come back into the England picture at some point.
Okay, two more quick games to get through then. Another upset in the West Country, just giving some men. They suffered at the hands of Newcastle. They pulled off a win at King's Home, 27 points to 21. But Lawrence, all things considered, George Givenden just must be scratching his head after that.
He must be very frustrated. I mean, they were playing at home as well. I mean, I know they're missing Adam Hastings and Chris Harris, who have been big sort of leaders for them this season, and a number of other players. But you would have expected that, the result to go their way. I guess I would say sometimes unless you're Saracens, of course, if you give yourself a bit too much to do, I think Newcastle were out of sight by half time, and I think Gloucester came back into the game second half, but they give themselves too much to do, really.
Yeah, and then the other result of the weekend is Exeter beating London Irish 22 points to 17. Well, should we do our outstanding player then?
Outstanding. Supported by Fuller's London Pride.
Lawrence, you can go first this week. Who's your outstanding player?
But I did watch the internationals, and I think we, being sort of a little bit Italian myself, I think we go with Capuzzo, the fullback. I just think he scored two tries against Australia, and he's such a cracking player. Ange Capuzzo. I mean, that's a name, isn't it? So I'm going to go with him. I think for Italy to beat a team like Australia, I think it's just brilliant for Italian rugby. We give them a really hard time, all of us do, saying, shouldn't they be involved? But I think they deserve it. And he was outstanding at the weekend. So we'll go with Capuzzo, the fullback.
Joe?
I'm also going to go with an Italian. Tommaso Allan was fantastic on the ball, the way he was playing. He was awful with the boot. I mean, they could have been well clear of Australia for a long period of time, but I'm giving it to him because he was so poor off the tee. He enabled the drama to go all the way down to the wire, and they relied on the Australian guy. He was the guy who was on debut as well, and the lad that came on for the kick. And he missed the kick.
Why does he like being called Tommy Allan and not Tommaso? Because I call him Tommaso, and everyone keeps correcting me in my ear, saying, I said Tommy Allan sounds like an American name. I mean, I was like,
no, I've had it from the horse's mouth. I said, what do you want me to call you? And he says, Tommaso. So whoever you're talking to, Lo is wrong. It's Tommaso. He wants Tommaso.
I've got it.
Keep going with Tommaso. Christ, Tommaso. It sounds fantastic, actually.
Exactly.
Nick?
Obvious, but I say Freddie Stewart. I just think for someone who's got 15 caps to be so in control in, such a difficult position for so many reasons, and he's 21, to have so much influence on that team already from the back of the back line. He was saying that he watched the World Cup semi-final at the Students' Union, basically. So to have gone from there to here and this time, hats off to him.
I'm going to go with either Ted Hill, mainly for the reasons that Lawrence spoke about, the impact I think that he's had, as well as Ollie Lawrence and the Worcester boys on Bath. Have been impressive. Or maybe Talupe Falatel, actually. I thought he was really good for Wales as well. Especially they were under so much pressure going into this game against Argentina. So yeah, two for me, for what it's worth. Right, next weekend is the Premiership Cup. That's in action, but round 11 of the Premiership returns the following week. So we'll hold off on any match predictions this week. However, England face New Zealand at Twickenham. Joe, what do you think England need to do to try and pull off a victory against the All Blacks?
Well, as Lowell mentioned earlier, like, the pack is really starting to fire up. I like the fact that they've got at least four or five carriers, like genuine out-and-out ball carriers in there now. It's just with the New Zealand team, you've got to get that balance between having those four or five carriers actually recognising that they need to do their graft and their work about the breakdown, because that'll be the key between the two teams. And I'm really excited. There's always trying to pick like head-to-heads with players. And I like the sound of Genji going at RD Sevilla and vice versa, because they're both in-your-face characters, big ball carriers, big hitters. I'm excited to see that. I'm going to go for an England win by two.
Okay, brave. The other games this weekend, Wales take on Georgia, Scotland will face Argentina, Italy will host South Africa, Ireland, they're going to be up against Australia, and France will be playing against Japan. And of course, we'll bring you all the results and chat in next week's pod. So Joe, it's time for a few more questions and then you are done. Right, you're going to get tackled now by Lawrence Delalio.
Tackled. Supported by Fuller's London Pride.
Your full name, please, sir.
Joseph William George Marler.
Wow, that's very posh.
I'm trying to change it at the minute.
What are you trying to change it to?
I'm trying to change it to Joseph, J-O-S-E-F, Mala, M-A-L-A. But don't worry about that. Well, that's another story.
Favourite takeaway?
Chinese. The wok-in from Lawton does the best Chinese in the world. It's phenomenal.
Beautiful. Did you have a celebrity crush?
My celebrity crush? I really liked Rachel from Friends.
Choice. What was the last movie you watched?
Red Dragon. I think it's a prequel, but it came out after Silence of the Lambs. Anthony Hopkins, Ralph Fiennes. Oh, it's dark. Love it.
Good stuff. And listen, I mean, it probably changes every day, but what do you have for breakfast?
Coffee. Yeah, I live miles away, don't I? So I'm up at 5 and I can't be asked to make anything. So I'll just grab a coffee, get on the road, and that'll be my breakfast.
Do you have a nickname? Do the lads call you something?
Croissant, because my nose is bent like the French pastry. So they just call me croissant.
Now, what is the best advice that you've ever been given, either on the field or off it?
This too shall pass. Whether you're at the highest height of whatever you're doing in your life, just remember, this too shall pass. And when you're at the lowest low of whatever you're doing in your life, this too shall pass. And that time is your ally. And that's something that I'm trying really hard to sort of accept and understand a bit more.
Good advice. Who would you say is the most famous person in your phone book? If your kids sort of went scroll through your address book and they went, Daddy, I didn't know you knew so-and-so. Who's that person?
Jonathan Ross. I went to his Halloween party the other week.
Did you? What was that like?
Just another level of surrealness. The characters there and the goings-on. I was very much out of my depth, but it was definitely an experience.
What did you go as?
I went as Captain Spaulding. He's a dark, sadistic clown from A House of 1,000 Corpses.
Sounds nice.
I wouldn't say you're out of your depth. No, you were right. Now, talking of which, who would play you in a film about your life?
His name's Tony Way, and he's Lenny from Afterlife. He's like the one that Ricky Gervais always grabs the rolls on the back of his head. Yep. He was also the fool in Game of Thrones. I think he'd make a good me.
Now, we know that you're a funny person, but who's the funniest person that you know?
Coley really, really makes me, like, belly chuckle.
But I mean, he has got a face that you can laugh at just by looking
at him. Well, he just, like, anything he does, like, he makes me belly chuckle. And it's like, most of it's unintentional. He's just, it's ridiculous human.
Dan Cole, are you a dog or a cat person? Do you have a dog or a cat? Or do you have both?
Got two dogs. I had a cat growing up called Blossom, but always wanted a dog. And finally, I've got two dogs, a black lab and a Cavapoo called Bean Juanito.
Do you like use its full name when you're calling it in the park?
Yeah, and it still doesn't work, because even if I shorten it, he's quite a thick lad.
Would you shorten it to?
To Bean.
Okay.
Now, moving on, what is your karaoke song? If you have to get up and do a little song in front or a duet, what's your go-to?
Adele, Someone Like You.
Straight in there. So are you happy with that?
Yeah, I'm happy with that. I just wouldn't have had him down as that kind of song, Joe.
What? What's your favourite TV show, Joe?
Afterlife, the series, is just wonderful, but I'm a stickler for I'm a Celeb at the minute. Can't get enough of it.
Oh, tins, eh? How about that?
Oh, mate. It's even better when you semi-know someone on it, and it's great to watch.
Which superhero would you most like to be?
Spider-Man. Yeah, only perfect. Because my two sons would be most impressed by that.
Who do you look at as the best rugby player of all time? Who is the person that you really looked up to?
I really enjoyed Brad Thorne. Just love the way he went about things. Yeah, I mean, Jason Leonard, obviously, for in my own position, but Brad Thorne was someone that I really enjoyed.
I like that answer. Now, I think I know the answer to this question. Your proudest Premiership moment?
The proudest Premiership moment was 2021. The way it went from Guzzy getting the chop in December, things all over the place at the club, the boys pulling together and then backs against the wall, just jouaying, or as we say, jouvet rather than jouet, because our captain at the time couldn't quite understand. We did a big speech. He did get huddled before one of the games and we'd been talking about jouet, jouet, let's just jouet, jouet. And he, Stefan, really thick Afrikaans, as in thick accented, with all the thing, big moment. And then just before we went out, he got us in a huddle and he was like, yes, guys, let's just go out and jouvet, hey? And we were like, everyone's looking around the soccer camera, jouvet? What? And he went, what did I say? Oh, sorry, duvet. Let's go out and duvet. And we were like, that's not it either, mate. Jouvet. He was like, oh, I don't know. Just go out and play, hey? Let's go out and play. So, yeah, 2021 and seeing the boys enjoy it as much as the young boys enjoy the following 3 or 4 days was something that I'll always be proud of.
Well, listen, Joe, thank you for being our guest this week. I've got a feeling that you might be doing a bit more Jouvet as you're fourth in the Premiership at the moment. Good luck with the rest of the season. And, yeah, keep that phone on because you never know with that pecking order, that might all change.
No, my phone will be on, but I've got plenty lined up already. We're actually taking the podcast on a live tour next year in April. We're doing Glasgow, Birmingham, Manchester, and actually we've somehow managed to bag the London Palladium. Whoa. Of which I walked past during this week and I had to double check. I rang the podcast crew and was like, are you sure there's not another Palladium? It's this Palladium, because they've got this big wall of people that have all done it and it's got the two Ronnies and all these different. And I'm like, I'm not sure like this is going to go well. And they were like, no, we've definitely got it. We just need people to buy tickets now. So I will have my phone on, Lawrence, but I've got plenty to keep me busy for now.
Well, I'm sure we'll be advertising that, Nick, in the Evening Standard, won't we?
Oh, delightful.
Absolutely.
100%. Thank you, Nick. Yes, Nick. You're welcome. What a lovely, handy networking podcast this is. Wonderful.
Glad you come on now. You?
Thanks for having me, guys.
So that's all then for this episode of This Evening Standard Rugby Podcast, supported by Fuller's London Pride. Don't forget, you can watch the full video episode with all the extra bits at londonpridebeer.co.uk.
And we'll be back next week. Until then, thanks for listening. If you want to listen to a rugby podcast, it's obviously ours. If you want to listen to a non-rugby podcast, then it's Joe Marler's.
The Evening Standard Rugby Podcast with Lawrence Dallaglio, supported by Fuller's London Pride, official beer of Premiership Rugby. Support with pride.
Hi, I'm Lawrence Dallaglio, and this episode of the Evening Standard Rugby Podcast is brought to you in partnership with QBE Business Insurance. QBE is one of the world's leading insurers, and they will help your business build resilience through risk management and insurance solutions.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.